Jess has got the recording going?
Yep. Most certainly does. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thanks everyone for joining tonight. I hope everyone's well and your families are safe and doing well. I don't know how long we'll be doing these meetings, but I would imagine at least another month or so. But so I would like to ask everyone, if you're not talking, if you could just put yourself on mute, and then whenever you want, you can unmute yourself and talk. But that'll relieve a lot of feedback that we may get, and some of the problems we had in the last call. So welcome to the Manasquan School District Board of Education Combined Committee of the Whole meeting, a regular public board meeting, Board of Education meeting for April 28, 2020. A call to order. Opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice this meeting has been provided by publication in Asbury Park Press, the Coast Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance.
Flag.
In the United States of America. To which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty, justice for all. Everyone's muted. That's the only one recorded there. Roll call, Stanky.
Mr. Balderman. Are they on mute?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Burns.
Here.
Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mr. Fiore.
Here.
Mr. Hobbit.
Here.
Mr. Angolia. Mr. Lenhart.
Here.
Mr. Lepreto.
Here, Sandy.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mrs. Pollock.
Here.
Mr. Serino.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Our mission statement, the Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with the community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is
going to be
presented to the Board of Education and is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole, a regular public meeting, and the closed executive session meeting March 18th, 2020. Executive session minutes will be withheld for disclosure until such time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exist. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
So moved.
I make a motion.
Mrs. Bassone?
Second.
Who was that?
Mr. Balderman.
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mr. Fiore.
Yes.
Mr. Hopper.
Yes.
Mr. Lenhart.
Yes.
Mr. Lepreto.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, there are no student board representative reports tonight, so we're going to move right on to the presentation. So I'll hand it over to Dr. Cajun, Dr. Crawley, the discuss the 2020-21 school budget.
Thank you, Gene. I want to welcome all the board members tonight and public, and thank you for your due diligence and your selfless service to the Manasquan community. I hope this particular meeting is finding everyone safe, secure, and healthy in their homes. Tonight, both Dr. Crowley and I will present for our public hearing on the 2020 and 2021 school district budget. I'll start tonight's presentation by focusing on what's included academically in this year's budget. As you can see on the screen, we have increase of student course offerings this year, but I want you to take note of the fact that even though we have the increase of student offerings, we are not hiring any full-time certificated teaching staff. You'll see with the anticipated staffing changes, we are taking some part-time individuals and making them full-time. However, even though we have 7 new courses being offered next year, we're not hiring any new certificated staff. As you can see, next year we'll be offering, within this year's, this particular budget, AP Physics, Dance 2, Advanced Dance, Construction Technology, Digital Photography 2, Sports and Entertainment Management, and a Public Safety Capstone class. As you can see, 4 of those classes directly impact the academies that we currently have. Next year, anticipated staffing changes are, because of the 2 classes you saw above, our part-time dance teacher will be made full-time. We have an addition of a full-time custodian who is working part-time, and we're now making him full-time because of the increase of space that we had with our referendum. The addition of a part-time security guard with no benefits. Part-time facilities secretary will be made full-time. Again, with all the things we're doing facilities here, we had a need for that. We have a 35-hour week strength and conditioning coach. We're going to make him 40 hours a week. We have a part-time unarmed guard promoted to an armed guard, which is a difference of $5 per hour, going from $25 to $30 an hour. Is that correct, Pete? Okay. And 2 positions will be eliminated through attrition, our full-time elementary general education teacher and a part-time elementary health teacher. We have the lease purchase of a gym floor and bleachers not to exceed $700,000. The bid will be opening May 20th. We also will continue the district's one-to-one initiative, which is in the area of around $275,000 a year. If it were not for that initiative that you started here before my arrival 6 years ago, we would not be able to deliver the continuity of education that we are delivering now with our virtual format through distance learning. So this investment has really paid off for the school district of Manasquan. Major factors impacting the proposed budget. I'm going to turn it over to, if there are no questions about slide number 1, I'm going to turn it over to Pete. Any questions? Thank you.
Jesse, if you could hit the next slide, please. Obviously, there are many more factors affecting the budget that could fit onto one slide, but I made my best effort to put the big movers up there to kind of illustrate what was driving the budget this year. The first factor that affected the budget was the budgeting process. As you all know, and as has been talked about even prior to my arrival here, we changed that process to be zero-based. Instead of the former process, which was allocation, meaning instead of giving cost center heads an X dollar value that they could then allocate on their own how they saw fit, those department heads had to instead justify each expenditure and each appropriation into their budget to us. We had a good deal of success with that process in year 1, and we hope to see that just continue and get more streamlined as the years go on. In terms of expenses that have been appropriated into the budget that are affecting it, payment number 3 of 6 of the CDL balance is being paid. That is the loan that was taken out to recover from Hurricane Sandy. So we're halfway through the payment of that. That will expire in 23-24. We're on payment number 3 of 5 for the turf lease. That's $146,000. That will expire in 22-23. We're continuing to make these deposits to capital reserve that include $50,000 towards the turf replacement and $25,000 towards the sock replacement. These have been made annually and will continue to be made annually based on our understanding and the professional advice we've gotten for the useful life of those two facilities. Turf replaced, the turf has an approximate useful life of 10 to 12 years, and the sod has an approximate useful life of 3 to 5 years before needing replacement. Dr. Cajun touched on this last meeting, but just to reiterate about the sod, we've been working with the turf consultant, South Jersey Turf, to maintain the sod on the football field in an effort to not require full replacement every 3 to 5 years. We've seen that be successful, and actually later on in not this presentation, but my next, you'll see a picture of that sod, and it continues to be healthy. So we are hoping to not replace that sod within the 3 to 5 year range and get a couple more years out of it, but we continue to make those capital reserve deposits because we believe it's the responsible thing to do. Enrollment obviously has an effect on budget. As you can see, we are down this year by 20-some students. That's something we monitor regularly and will continue to do so. Out-of-district placement, which refers to special ed students or students with special needs who can't be educated within our facilities and incur tuition costs, is another major factor in the budget. Along with that tuition comes the transportation of those students, which is a high value line item in our budget. And finally, primarily out of our control is the increase in insurance premiums. Our health benefits rose by a little over 6.5% this year. So that's something that drives our budget and informs our decision making, and unfortunately we have a little control over. Jesse, if you want to do the next slide, please.
One note, Dr. Crawley is currently working diligently to try to create, not for next year but the year after, an artistic program that we could have here at Manasquan for our students, but it's got to be the same or better than the programs that students are currently taking now. That should drive our costs down for our out-of-district placements. You want to say anything about that?
We're continuing to look into that. What we're hoping to do is recoup the costs of students who remain in district instead of being sent out, and reallocate those funds into the development of that program. There's some capital expenses associated with that program. Namely, bathroom facilities have to be put in wherever that program is. So we're working with Margaret and our behaviorist, Ms. Pollock, and our behaviorist, Kelly Ballone, to put together a plan for that. And we hope to have that plan roll out through next year and be implemented the following September 2021. If that does come to fruition, that'll give us great relief on that tuition line, that out-of-district tuition line, as well as hopefully bringing revenue from sending districts who presumably would take advantage of us because our tuition rates would be much lower than what we're paying at those private schools. So that's certainly something we've been working on and will continue to work on throughout next year. Jesse, actually, could you go back to the last slide? I did miss one thing. The one other new addition to the budget, large addition to the budget, is the first debt service repayment for the HVAC referendum. This is the first year we're paying off the bond, so that did have a significant impact on the overall budget. Thank you, Jesse. You can go. So the total budget is up $1.43 million, as you can see on this slide, and comes in at $30,696,057. That's up 4.89%, and as I mentioned in the previous slide, a large portion of that is outside of that 2% and the repayment of that debt coming into the expense side of the budget. So that's had a significant impact. The general fund impact was about $885,000. As you can see, our administrative cost per pupil actually went down, which is, from our view, good news. That means more money's going directly into the classroom and less is being spent on administrative costs on a per capita basis. And our per pupil cost overall did go up slightly, about $500. State aid, as I mentioned last meeting as well, did go up 5.77%. However, this is not a huge portion of our budget. It only makes up 2.35% of our revenues. So while it went up, that's a good thing. However, it doesn't impact us as largely as some of our communities surrounding us. But I do want to address that state aid number. That state aid number came out in early March. Obviously, things have changed quite a bit since then. The state extended its fiscal year through the summer, so the state's fiscal year now ends at the end of August. We expect to get at the end of August revised state aid numbers with everything that's going on right now taken into account. So there's a realistic possibility that state aid number doesn't come in where we were initially quoted by the state and comes in lower because their revenues are obviously down. Thanks, Jess. Next slide.
I'll go over the general fund revenues. And as you can see, we have two pie graphs. One is indicative of Manasquan High School's estimated revenues of $17,607,177. And the orange is representative of the Manasquan Elementary School estimated revenues of $10,998,853. And as you can see from each slide, we have different funding sources. And the funding sources for Manasquan High School revolve around basically our tuition from our sending districts. As you can see, we have 64.91% from them. We also have tuitions from individuals, which is 0.5%, which roughly speaking is how much, Pete? You figure?
0.5% of our whole budget,
150,000. Yeah, I thought we were about 170,000, but it's about 150,000, which I think is a good thing. We continue to get more and more people interested in coming to Manasquan High School over the years. It was 42 last year. Before the break, we were up to 45. I don't know where it's going to fall now with what's happening, but we'll see in September. But I think it's something to notice as it goes up every year. We have our tax levy, our state aid, extraordinary aid, miscellaneous revenue, and of course our Medicaid reimbursement, which is semi. For the elementary school, you can see the $10.9 million comes from basically the Manasquan taxpayer, as well as state aid, miscellaneous revenue, semi, tuition from others, which is we have about 0.5% there, and we also have some individual tuition payments there. But one thing that we've tried to do since I've been here is present a look into our budget from two different revenue sources, and we have two different sides of the street, and as you can see, the difference in the estimated revenue from the high school and the elementary school. Questions about that at all? And then in the larger graph, as we go to the next slide, or we go black, whatever the case may be.
Oh boy.
Can they hear us?
Can you still see us, Jess?
They
can still see us. We're on the little screen.
All right, then. the general fund revenues is just the largest slide of the two smallest, right? But together, because this represents the district funds that we have. And I think it's self-explanatory as we're trying to correct technical difficulties that we have here. But we can see the other screen, so we're good. Any questions about the general fund revenues at all? All righty. Then we have, on the next slide, you can see our general fund appropriations.
We're good.
Gene, you have any questions? I'm treading water here until Jesse turns the slide, okay?
There you go.
All right, I would have sang, but everybody would have turned off the computers, but. Okay, Jesse, go to the next slide, please.
Yes, sir.
No, we want the Manasquan High School academics. All right. What we just looked at service our co-curricular programs. And the next several slides focus on exactly where we are in each particular academy. As you can see, our Academy of Engineering, our current enrollment, we have 100 students, and we're affiliated to NJIT, which I think is extremely commendable. They're doing a great job with that. And you can see the classes that are there as well. We have the Academy of Finance, 188 students. It continues to grow. Affiliation with George and Court University. Jess, next slide. The Academy of Health and Careers, enrollment 162 students with the affiliation with Rutgers University. You can see the course selections there, and each particular academy, along with it, they do have college credits that students can obtain from passing the classes or the tests that are offered by the affiliated school. Our Public Service Academy, current enrollment, we have 100 students. Our affiliation is with Brookdale Community College. The Academy of Fine and Performing Arts, which is just starting, I'm proud to say, as we go into our second year, has 92 students, and we have internship and shadowing opportunities that we're setting up now. We haven't chosen the affiliation yet, but we'll be doing that next year. Also, our academics are continuing in our elementary school. Next slide, Jess. And one of the things that most outstanding about this year's budget, although it was wrapped into the actual costs that the elementary school had last year, is our new K-6 mathematics program, Ready Math, and through Curriculum Associates. We also have the inclusion of our new K-6 iReady, which is an online assessment program that came along with our Ready Math curriculum that we purchased. The inclusion of our new iXL Online that we've been using this year and that we're going to use to develop our assessment to see exactly where the gaps are with our learning so we can go to our summer enrichment programs this year. Also, new Gizmos, which is an online science or STEM program that's going to continue through grades 6-8. And also, the STEM program with an instructional supervisor will continue. We also have our STEM summer camp. So you can see from the academics that we're offering at the elementary school, we're going to continue what we put in place and actually expand on those things. Okay, Pete?
Yep. This slide just is to kind of represent what we do have control over and what we don't in the budgeting process and the decision-making process. Fixed expenses represent salaries, benefits, tuition, transportation, utilities, and insurance. The reason I say we don't have too much control over those are all either pre-negotiated or are settled on the basis of experience from the prior year in the case of insurance. Tuition costs are student by student need. So all of those things which drive our budget in a significant way, as you can see, 93%, make up the, that's kind of where we start our budget, and that's drives a lot of what we're doing. The 7% represents what I talked about before, the kind of things that came in through the zero-based budgeting process, supply costs, facilities costs, costs for upgrades and things like that. So as you can see, we're about 93% fixed costs and 7% discretionary costs. That's shifted 1% from last year. Last year we were 92% fixed costs and 8% discretionary expenses. So the zero-based budgeting, I think that's a function of the zero-based budgeting process. It's moved money off that discretionary line that wasn't necessarily needed or wasn't justifiable through that process. So that's shifted slightly from last year. Thanks, Jesse. Next. The next few slides deal with the tax rate. This is Manasquan specific. The function of figuring out what the tax rate is very simple. It's just the total tax levy divided by the total assessed value of every house in town. So that's the sum of the value of all houses. The numerator on that is the tax levy that's been presented throughout this presentation. So 17 million divided by the 2 billion comes out to a rate of 0.00865. Last year's rate was 0.838, so that's up 0.027 or 3.2% on a per $100 basis. Next slide, please, Jess. To see how that's been affected over time, the next slide will show you a year-to-year. Here it is. We'll show you a year-to-year what's happening with the whole net valuation as well as what's been happening with the school tax rate. So as you can see, the net valuation has been steadily climbing, which means home values have been increasing, which is a good thing for all of you, obviously. And the school tax rate to support the school system has gone up slightly as well. Thanks, Jess. Next slide. This slide represents how this will affect the average house in town. So the average house's value in town is $630,645. When you look at the tax rate for that, which was calculated on the previous slide, 0.865, that amounts to $5,455.08 per average house. That's up about $170 from last year, or $14.19. Next slide, please, Jess. And finally, again, just to illustrate two different things, how that rate has been affected over time, last year to this year, as well as how this will affect different house values. The highlighted house value is the average house value, which was presented on the previous slide. And then above that, obviously, is house values that are less, and below that is house values that are more. So as I mentioned on the previous slide, we're looking at $170 increase on the average house, which amounts to $14.19 annually,
or monthly, excuse me. Are there any questions about anything we've spoken about, the taxes or the budget, the makeup of it? This is the last slide, just so you're all aware of where we're at in the presentation.
Dr. Crowley?
Yes.
When you say that the increase is 3.2%, that's including the referendum money being spent?
Correct. That's total budget. So that's the addition of the referendum as well as any increase in the general fund. Correct. Anyone else?
We good? Seeing no other hands being raised, I'm going to move to the science results from the Science Spring 2019 score report. Was created by Mr. Richard Coppola, the Director of Curriculum and Instruction, and presented by myself this evening, according to state statute. Go to the first slide, Jesse. The NJSLA Science Test is a federally required state assessment administered to students in grades 5, 8, and 11. It provides a snapshot of student performance on the New Jersey Student Learning Standards for Science. It was developed in collaboration with New Jersey educators, the Department of Education, and New Jersey contracted science vendors. It's significantly different from the New Jersey Assessment of Skills and Knowledge, New Jersey asks, because NJSLS science is a more rigorous focus on the standards, and the science focuses on the application of science, knowledge, and skills rather than memorization of content. So this particular test measures the knowledge and skills that students have and their ability to apply it on the test. Next slide, Jess. How many students were tested? In fifth grade, we had 71 students tested. In eighth grade, we had 66 students tested. In 11th grade, we had 186 students tested. Total, we had 323 students tested. Next slide. I think it's important that we start tonight's discussion by going over exactly what each level, as you see, we're going to show you a graph showing you where the students scored on what level. And I'm going to read the first level, but there's certain particular words that stand out in levels 2, 3, and 4, and I'll just be focusing on those. But let's take a look at the whole level 1 right now. Students who are at level 1 demonstrate a minimal understanding of the New Jersey Student Learning Standards in Science. By misinterpreting information from a variety of sources and inconsistently applying the knowledge gained from scientific investigation to develop incorrect explanations of models of observed phenomena, the students had difficulty choosing and using, even with significant scaffolding, the appropriate tools to make observations and to gather, classify, and present data. The students struggled to use essential information to recognize patterns and relationships between data and design systems. The students seldom used information to make real-world connections or predictions. So if our student got a 1 on the science test, these are the problems that student has with the application of the standards that we have in science. Next slide, Jesse. Level 2, which stands out here, if you got a 2 on the test, you have a limited grade level understanding of the New Jersey Student Learning Standards. And you can see, I don't need to read this from the slide, what that encompasses. The student had some difficulty choosing and using the appropriate tools to make observations and gather, classify, and present data. I'll give you a second just to read that. I think it's important that you have an understanding of what each level reflects before you take a look at exactly what the scores were for these children at these grade levels. Good? Okay, level 3. Students who are at level 3 demonstrated appropriate grade level understanding of the New Jersey Student Learning Standards, and you can see the difficulty these students had, but they showed that they did have appropriate understanding of the information through what they presented. Level 4 is advanced understanding. Okay, now to the graph. As you can see, the percentage of students at each performing level. Level one is minimal. Level two, again, is limited understanding. Level three is appropriate. And level four is advanced understanding. The graph at the end, or the row at the end, is just a combination of putting three and four together with a percentage of the proficient. Those students represent proficient. So as you can see, for grade five, we had 12.7 students involved in level one, and you can read across 52 in level two, 29 in level three, and 5.6 in level four. Combining three and four, it's 35.2 students. Grade eight, you can read across the same, and as you can see, in level four, we only had 6.1 students, 27.3 of those students. If you combine level three and level four together with the appropriate and the advanced understanding, and in grade 11, as you can see, level two, we had 36.6 students, which is limited understanding of the science of application of the science standards. And we had 36.6 if you combine level three and level four. That sort of gives you an understanding of how the students that were selected scored on this particular test. Next slide, Jesse. This is a combination, a comparison between our district and where the state scored in level one, level two, level three, and level four. And as you can see from the slide, as you read across, we could have done better, I think, in each category that we're looking at. And possibly we've done the best in grade 11. But this gives you a picture of where we are in regards to the science test. I'm sure there's no questions yet. Questions? Good. If we go to the next slide, there's a comparative performance report regarding the state, and this is more in colors. And as you can see, in comparison to the state where we are, and it seems like in each category at level three or level four that we're standing out in that particular category in comparison to the state. I would have hoped we would have done better, but we're going to see exactly what we're going to do with the results that we got to make sure that we do better next year. Next slide, Jess. This is a slide illustrating all the students and our subgroups. And you can see exactly where we scored in regards to grade five, which is blue, grade eight is red, and grade 11 is green. And then we have 9.1 in students that went over all three categories. And this is the percentage of students at level three and level four. Okay, next slide, Jess. In the elementary school, I think it's important to look at how we're moving forward. And next year, we're going to be looking at focusing on using project-based and inquiry-based curriculum programs. One of the things, virtual labs and the Gizmos platform, is going to help us with the application of the standards that we just looked at, how we scored with our students, being able to apply the standards through mathematical and science integrated questions. Also at the high school, we are going to continue an analysis and discussion of student achievement since transition from the 5.5 semester block to the rotating modified block in 18-19. Next slide, Jess. And also in the high school, we're going to integrate PLCs to discuss exactly where we are. We have the new lab space that we're expanding our course structure, which is going to help us in the high school. So how are we going to do better on the test? I think these are some areas that we're utilizing to make sure that we do become more advanced in the application of our science standards. Next slide, Jess. Manasquan High School District is committed to the Sheltered Instruction Observation Protocol And our students and our teachers have had training with that this year, so we should have an impact with our learning next year because of the training that we had this year, which will continue next year. Actively Learn is a platform that they're using in science for the 6th, 7th, and 8th grades. And with Actively Learn, it has an internal library of sources that are going to help. So, and also at the high school, our ELL students get extra help at the elementary school, and that should help us in regards to the application of math and science in the high school. I think questions 17 and 18 with the frequently asked questions are important. Question 17, when will the NJSLA science scores be utilized in New Jersey CUSAC? New Jersey CUSAC for school year 2021 or 2022 will be the first year in which results from the NJSLA science will be factored into CUSAC, utilizing results from the 2020-2021 administration of the assessment. And then question 18, does a student have to pass the NJSLA science to graduate? The NJSLA science is not a state graduation assessment requirement. And we did include other frequently asked questions for you there with that. This is the first time this particular test has been administered. And we do have plans to look at exactly where we scored and how we're going to do better next year. And I highlighted some of the ways we're going to do that. Or actually, Rick highlighted some of the ways we're going to do that. Questions?
So
go ahead.
Is it next spring when they take it
again? That's a great question. If everything was normal, would they take? Yes, they would take it next spring. I don't know what they're doing with state testing now. So, and you know, that's for another discussion, I think, Gene. But if times were the same as they in normal days, yes, they would take it in the spring next year. Good? Or no questions? I don't know. It's good, but if there are any questions. Okay. No principals reports tonight. And now we're up to 11, Gene. It's you, public forum on agenda items.
Yep. So time may be allotted for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event that appears a public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant for 3 to 5 minutes of duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and group of any they represent. Although the board encourages public participation and reserves the right for the presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of the meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. Pete, do we have anyone?
No one indicated they'd like to make a comment, Gene.
Okay. That said, I assume no one would like to comment on any other topics on the agenda or not?
That's correct.
Okay. So then we'll move on to our discussion items and turn it back over to Dr. Cajun.
Thanks, Gene. Committee of a whole, education, curriculum, and technology. I thought it was important that we start tonight by focusing on what we've been doing from March 18th to April 28th. And I want to thank the teachers, the students, the parents, for everyone who actively embraced trying to maintain a sense of normalcy here and following our bell schedule the way we had followed it every day since we opened in September. And then we made that adjustment as we move forward. And I think to get our hands around exactly how well we're doing with our virtual learning platform, it's important that we look at certain benchmarks. And I think the first thing that we should look at is the marking period average grades that we had from first marking period, second marking period, and third marking period. Understand that the virtual learning component really was only involved with the last 2 weeks of the third marking period. So having said that, as you look at the Manasquan High School averages, the average grades for marking period one was 89.8. Marking period two, 88.5. Marking period three, 88.2. If we go to the elementary school, we look at marking period one, the average marking period grade was a 94.5. Marking period two, a 94.2. Marking period three, a 95.3. Again, my purpose for focusing on this history of virtual learning is to get an understanding. I think our teachers and our students are doing a good job. Could we have done a better job if we had professional development for the teachers to give them an understanding of what an entire virtual platform would be, and then to also have the students get some professional development so they could understand how to learn most efficiently in a virtual platform? Yes, but I think that's given us something to work on next year. The next slide. Is a look back at the Manasquan High School daily attendance rate. I think you have to look at grades and you also have to look at attendance. And as you can see here, the orange bars are from the high school E-days. And this is actually showing us a breakdown of attendance between the 18-19 and the 19-20 weeks we had school. And you can see the attendance that we're having on virtually is just as good, if not better, than what we had in 18-19. And this chart is for the high school. The next chart, so actually we're averaging in the high school right around, I'm going to say, for argument purposes, 95%. The Manasquan Elementary School daily attendance, and they take attendance every day, hovers right around 100%. 99.8% we're seeing on April 13th and April 14th, and then we had a 99.8% and 99.8% on April 20th and 21. Understand that the state, when they put out their guidelines for the COVID-19 virtual learning platform, mandated that pre-K to 5 students are presumed present unless knowingly not participating in instruction. So unless we know a child purposely is not participating, any pre-K to 5 child mandated by executive order by Governor Murphy, mark them present. Okay. I think it's important that we take a look at exactly what is virtual learning. Virtual learning is not home instruction. Virtual learning is different than home instruction. Virtual learning is basically distance learning conducted in a virtual environment with electronic study content designed for self-paced, asynchronous, or live web conferencing, synchronous online teaching. And that's what we do. That's virtual. It's not home instruction. We're not providing academic services to limit the educational effects of a long-term absence. We're actually focusing through an asynchronous environment and a synchronous environment on continuing the coordination and continuity of our curriculum. Next slide, Jess. What is actually happening? What do we do in this virtual learning atmosphere? Well, from preschool to grade 5, here's exactly what those students are involved with. Daily lesson plans are posted on a homeroom teacher's individual webpage. And those plans include teacher prepared instructional videos, online assignments from the publishers or other programs, and a variety of other resources, and periodic live class lessons. Live class lessons don't happen every day, but live class lessons do happen 2 or 3 times a week. But there are lessons online for the students daily. And also, between 1 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, our teachers are there to help students who are having difficulty. We are reaching out to them through email or through GoToTeams, whatever modality they decide to use, and helping the students. Next slide. Jess? And here's a list of some of the technology resources that are utilized in preschool to grade 5. Envision Math, Think Central, Flipgrid, Zoom, CSER Learning, ABC Math. I know these things don't mean anything to you, but I can definitely send you, if you want, in a Friday packet once we start doing those again. If you have questions about what is CSER Learning, I can get it to you so you can understand what it is. But we are engaged in utilizing all the resources that we have at our disposal on both sides of the street. 6-8 is a little different. 6-8 is more aligned with what we're doing in the high school, even though it's similar but not the same. They're continuing using Canvas and the digital learning platform that we've practiced. 6-8 have been given Dell tablets, so it's a little easier for them. Genesis is the modality that we use as a student management system. We do take attendance in 6-8, and you can see the Canvas, Flipgrid, IXL Learning, which we're going to use as the assessment tool to see where the gaps in our learning is. So when we set up our classes in, if we're allowed to, for the last 2 weeks of August, we'll know exactly what we have to focus on in each grade level. So when our teachers offer the enrichment programs and students can volunteer to take them, we'll know what we have to wrap our curriculum around. Next slide, Jess. Here's a look at what happens on Tuesday and Thursdays and what happens with the daily classes in the 6-8 grades. Okay, Jess, next slide. You have all these documents on the portal, correct, Pete? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So I'm not moving too fast. In the high school, it's sort of a horse of a different color. We do utilize the Canvas platform. It's an entirety. Teachers have the opportunity to chat with their classes, to actually have a calendar where teachers post a day's assignment and post when it is due. They have Canvas discussions, and I know some of our teachers who are stakeholders here who've been here for most of their careers are reinventing themselves through Canvas and are trying hard to embrace this new virtual learning environment. The Canvas conferences have become very popular with the teachers as they can conduct a live class, and I'm seeing that in quite a few classes. And then we also have our Canvas quizzes. One of the things that I made it quite clear for my administrative team as the instructional leader of the district, we will have exams. We'll have exams at the end of the semester because I believe what we're doing has a value. Are we drilling down deep and are we mastering things? I can't say we're doing that, but are we continuing the continuity of education in Manasquan? Yes, we are. So in order to validate what we've done here, I believe exams and assessment, not like the exams that they're used to, but an assessment concluding the end of the year will be done on an exam schedule here. And I have each particular department working on, and they're going to get the product to Mr. Coppola, then to the building principal, and then I will see it and with all our approvals, and we move forward. But it's going to be an authentic assessment focused on exactly what the most important concepts the students were learning based on exactly what they're doing with the exams that we're doing for advanced placement this year. And the next slide focuses on the E-days, and again with a special attention to our special education teachers, students, because we have to modify the curriculum for them, where teachers have the opportunity to open up a private conference for each class for the students and also focus on the IEPs that we had. When we started the schedule early on, we did not have this component in there. Now we do an A and B day and an E day, and then we do a C and a D day and an E day, and it's working out much better. I really needed you to have sort of get your hands around exactly what we are doing with virtual learning and a look back and what we've done since we've started this on March 18th and what we're doing to April 28th, And according to where the governor sees us, if we come back to school on the 15th, we'll have another discussion. If not, we'll continue refining things as we move forward. Any questions on that? Again, I want to compliment our staff, our students, and our parents for taking a difficult situation and making it more normal than less. Students are learning, and we are moving forward. Regarding summer enrichment proposals, we're going to assess our learning gaps, and then we'll move forward, hopefully the last 2 weeks. We do have the money. We're going to invite our sending districts. I haven't had that discussion with them yet. If they feel if any students who are coming to Manasquan High School needs enrichment, the classes will be open. And I have to be a little nebulous about this now because I don't know what the numbers are. And we don't know if we're going to be back on the 15th, or we're going to be back on the 12th, or we're going to be back in September. So as soon as we get all those things, I'll present the board with a plan of action well in advance of the first week in August. But we will have a summer enrichment program if we can. I think we have to fill in the gaps. And we'll get that from our IXL assessments that we're giving in the elementary school. Now, in regards to the high school, those gaps will be filled in the beginning of September next year, as each department will audit exactly where they feel their students are with each particular subject matter, and we'll move from there. But again, we'll have a discussion about that as we move closer to the end of the year. Any questions at all about summer enrichment or assessing the learning gaps? Okay, you have quite a few policies, but we've spoken about them before, and we've gone over those. Now for finance and for the buildings and grounds and the HVAC. Rob Notley's not here, but we have a great stand-in. Dr. Crowley will stand in for Rob Notley.
That's the next presentation, Jeff. Yeah, as Dr. Cajun said, Rob Notley is in absentia, but he forwarded along this presentation. I'll do my best approximation of him. But forgive me if I read from the slides a little bit, as he is has a better command of this construction. Next slide, Jess. As you all know, we started the referendum project at the beginning of this year. It's an $8.6 million project that is replacing the HVAC systems in the 1931 and 1995 wings, as well as new HVAC controls and upgrades to the fire alarm system that are required when you upgrade the HVAC system. Next. Thermal Piping has been the awarded contractor, and they've been working on it since December 23rd this year. The ductless split system for use in the guidance and the CST has been installed, and that room was up and running and occupied as of just shortly after February break. So we did spend about a month in there, and they were able to use the space, which is beautiful and you know, well ventilated. The roof penetrations for the ductwork in the 1931 wing are now 85% complete. The roof penetrations for the 1962 wing are 90% complete, and they're beginning the roof penetrations in the 95 wing this week. A lot of that has to do with roofing work, so that we had to wait for the weather to get a little warmer. It's been rainy, but we've been doing our best to move along with that. Next slide, Jess. As mentioned in the previous slide, the 95 roof penetrations will begin this week. The 31 wing boiler room and existing boilers and pumps have been demolished. The new boiler has been installed, which I'll show you a picture of shortly, and new boiler number 2 will be installed after chilled water piping is demolished. One thing about that, we've been doing our best to give TPI leeway to move forward with work as aggressively as possible within the extent that we know we're going to be shut down. So we haven't been able to give them permission to demolish that chilled water piping because at this point, there's the possibility at least that we'll be back for the school year, so we can't shut down the chilled water for the school year. However, once we get word that we will be out until summer, we can give them the go-ahead to demolish that out and start installing boiler number 2. In the 95 wing, the boiler, the demo is complete, and the new boilers have been installed. I think we can confirm the demo is complete because it's about 50 degrees in the room Frank and I are sitting in, so that demo went very well. Next slide, Jess. We're starting to put in unit ventilators in all the classrooms. They've been delivered in part. They're in the hallways right now and are starting to go in. The demo of those UVs has already taken place, so now it's just a matter of putting in the new ones. One thing that came up in that demo was that there is lead paint behind many of those unit ventilators. So we have contracted with Shade Environmental to remediate that lead paint so that the workers can work in safe conditions. All replacement UVs are on either side of being pre-piped and pre-wired at the TPI facility. Six are on site already. As I mentioned, they're in the hallways waiting to be installed once that lead paint is remediated. And everything will be replaced by 5/15. Again, we're giving them enough work with a guarantee that it will be done on 5/15 with the understanding that there's a greater than zero chance we're back 5/16. So we can't really allow for them to demo or rip out anything more than what they can replace before 5/15. Next slide, Jess. Gas piping for future rooftop air handling units and energy recovery units, which will be mounted on the 31 building, have been installed, supported, and painted. The cafeteria floor had to be abated due to asbestos containing in some of the tiles that have been put down. The upside of that abatement is that we're uncovering the old gym floor that was in there, and we're going to eventually breathe life back into that. So it's going to be a pretty cool room once we have that down to the wood. We'll sand it, we'll restripe it, and it'll look like the gym from whenever the building was built many years ago. Next slide, Jess. There have been two change orders associated with the project. The first had to do with the leveling of the land behind the bleachers, which is where the laydown area was for TPI. That took place in December. The second change order is the newer one I just mentioned, which is the abatement of those asbestos tiles in the cafeteria. We're currently carrying a contingency of a little over $1 million for the project. Next slide, Jess. These are just some photos of some of the work that is done, and many of which I've already mentioned in the prior slides. The top left photograph is of the laydown area that was leveled and accounted for one of the change orders. That picture is of the main office and the new ductless air handling that they have in there. Bottom left is the 1931 roof, which is showing the new gas lines that have been run. And bottom right is the new boiler that was put in the 95 boiler room. Next slide. Top left is the 31 boiler, which was put in. Bottom left shows a demoed unit ventilator from one of the classrooms, classroom 112. As you can see, that lead paint is flaking off and is pretty, it really has to be remediated. We have no choice to encapsulate it because it's so deteriorated. So that, as I mentioned before, Shade Environmental was taking on the task of remediating that so that it's safe for the people who are installing it. On the right side is a picture of the cafeteria in abatement conditions that they had to seal it off with plastic sheeting completely so that no air could escape the room. And if you do look closely, you can see the old wood floor. You can see some of the striping on it. I think we're looking at the key on what is now the main food line, the a la carte food line there. So again, that'll look pretty cool when it's done. It'll be a pretty unique room once we refinish those floors. Next slide, Jess. As the UVs were removed in the first floor of the main hallway, there was some damage to floors, and we saw that underneath there was some hardwoods. So we've also taken advantage of those hardwoods that already existed under there to really change the look of some of those rooms. That's a before and after of room, I think that's 108. So that's what it looked like before with the old tiles, and that's what it looks like now with the refinished hardwood. So it's really a beautiful transition we've made. Next slide, Jess. We continue to have biweekly progress meetings that are attended by myself, Frank, Jesse, other administrators in district, as well as TPI, New Road Construction Management, Rye Bread Architecture, and any other pertinent member of the team, controls guys, different guys throughout the different meetings. TPI is continuing to complete the submittal process. UVs are being worked on at TPI's facility, as well as have already been delivered here to some extent. And as mentioned, Shade Environmental has been working on, is beginning work on abating the lead paint and is finishing work on abating the cafeteria today. Next slide, please. TPI is currently obtaining pricing to expand the scope of the fire alarm to cover the entire building. We've had that drawn already by Rybrad, so now it's just a matter of him shopping that around and getting the best price. And when that comes back, we'll see what that comes in at. As mentioned before, we're on schedule and we're within the budget, well within the budget. We're carrying $1 million contingency for now, so we're doing pretty well with project progress. Next slide, Jess. Shifting slightly from HVAC referendum related work that's been going on, there's the one upside of the outage is it's given us the opportunity to do some work around the district that we wouldn't have been able to do when kids and faculty and staff were present. So the next couple slides are just pictures of that. As I mentioned in my budget conversation, that's a picture of the field after our annual aeration of it, which was done by South Jersey. As you can see in that picture, if you can zoom on your own computers, if you can zoom in, you can see the field's in really good shape. We're keeping up with the aeration. We're keeping up with the reseeding and things like that to make sure that we're not losing the good quality of the sod there. On the right side, you'll see a white fence that we installed that runs from the door immediately outside the band room to the walkway there. The reason we installed that is we had a number of cars having a difficulty staying on the road in that approach on almost a daily basis. We'd arrive and there would be tire tracks on the side of that grass there. And if any of you attended the Homedale basketball game, you would have been privileged to see someone park their pickup truck completely on the grass there. So something about that spot has attracted drivers to it. So in an effort to retain the quality of the grass there, we ran that fence. And we took some care. If you notice, that fence matches the fencing that it already exists over at the elementary school. So it kind of ties together the two buildings across the street. And I think it looks pretty nice. Next slide, Jess. A couple upgrades, updated signs around the district. If you hadn't seen the sign in front of the board office, it was in some degree of deterioration. The wood was a little bit rotted underneath, and we were missing some caps on the PVC. So that's been replaced with the sign you see there. Also above Coach Caboo's quote in immediately outside of the gym entrance, you'll see we added a warrior head. We think that'll be a nice approach to the new gym we're putting in, and it'll be a nice, it'll improve the quality of the experience when you're entering the building by that entrance. Next slide, Jess. And this is a project that had to be done, but obviously couldn't be done with kids there, which is refinishing the floors and lights in that main hallway. We did our best to do justice to that project with this picture, but I suggest when and if at all possible in the near future, if you can get into the building, that really transformed that space, changing those lights and doing those floors. We also in-house painted all the walls and ceilings white, and it just makes it look like a whole new area. We've also replaced above each door along that hallway. At the top there, you'll see the glass transom that replaced just what used to be a plain white painted piece of, I assume, drywall.
Yeah.
We're talking about and brainstorming what we'll do with that space now, whether it be adding, a Manasquan M, a warrior head, a quote that means something to the teacher or the subject matter that's being taught inside those rooms. But again, small changes, but they make a big difference when you walk around the campus. It looks pretty impressive. Next slide, Jess. And unrelated to facilities upgrade, but related to what we're doing here still, one thing you've probably heard a lot about in the news is with the shutdown is making sure our kids who rely on us for a steady source of food and healthy food are still accommodated. We originally were accommodating them by allowing for pickup of the food at outside the gym entrance, but we were getting a fraction of the students who were eligible for these services to show up. So in concert with the Monmouth Ocean Food Bank, and with help from many, many of our district's faculty and staff volunteering work, we were able to up what we were doing to 180 lunches and dinners that are now being delivered to our students' doors. It's been a pretty impressive operation. I do want to make note of who has been helping out. The CST members and guidance have been packing the food and getting it ready for the security guards who have been delivering meals. I think a special thanks, and I do want to read their names, goes to Leslie Kenny, Rich Reed, Bailey Price, Liz Rutter, and Lauren Soliski, who are all in that picture right there, and on a daily basis create an assembly line and pack up almost 200 meals for our students and families, as well as Tim Clayton, Bill Pelly, Dan Langdon, Scott Clayton, and Jerry Murphy, who then take those bags that they packed up and deliver it directly to our students' doors. It's been a pretty cool thing to see it grow. And just to also mention, these folks are basically the first people who volunteered and have been doing a phenomenal job. But as many people as have volunteered, I've probably had five times that amount of people ask to volunteer. Unfortunately, with, you know, social distancing restrictions and things, we're trying to keep the number of people in that space small. But the amount of people who have shown that they're willing to help out this at-need community is a testament to our community at large, I think. That's it for me, facilities.
See, and that concludes our committee of a whole, unless we have questions.
Nope, move on.
Okay, superintendent's report and information items, total enrollment, we speak. 1,487, high school, 953, elementary school, 534. There are no fire drill reports, as you can see. Also no harassment, intimidation, or bullying reports this month. There are no reports from the Director of Curriculum and Instruction or Director of School Counseling. Jess, since you're here, you have a report?
Just briefly, I'll just update on what's going on in technology. As you know, we're continuing to support our students, staff, and parents, both remotely and at school during our tech hours, which we still maintain on weekdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So we have our technology staff working remotely every day. One technician is here at school on duty for that time period. We've seen about, I'm going to say on the order of under 10, more like probably five students, averaging per day coming to school, and those are for the hardware type issues that we can't try to deal with remotely. Obviously, we try to deal with anything remotely that we can. Beyond that, we have distributed 37 laptops to date to pre-K to 5 students who indicated through their teachers that they needed one or could use one. So those are students obviously outside our one-to-one program. 6 to 12 already have their laptops, but we utilized some extra devices we had in the district, as well as laptops from our STEM lab that we normally keep in school to distribute them. We've also given out 3 wireless hotspots to students. Indicated that they were having difficulty or didn't have access to Wi-Fi at home. That's it.
And you hear Governor Murphy and Governor Cuomo talk about essential employees being so important to making sure that the city runs and everybody else can stay home, from the people who run the subways to the people who run the trucks. And the same thing here. I mean, we have our techs who come in every day, one a day. We have our grounds crew. We have our custodians who are doing the things that you just saw pictures of. We have our teachers, of course, who are home, but they're reaching out to the students every day. And to make this work, and virtual learning is working, is it drilling down deep enough in regards to getting mastery? Probably not. But we're continuing the continuity of education, which is so important. And if this ever happens again, we can scratch the surface of mastery, because we're going to make sure that our teachers and our students embrace this new concept and get some professional development with it. So I think that I don't want to go without thanking all our essential employees that we have here. Just those 5 students that showed up today and had a problem with their laptop because they wanted to get on and learn something virtually, we serviced them. So it's important to say thank you, and I'm doing that. I want to thank all these people who are so actively engaged, because they got families, too, that they leave on a daily basis to come here and make sure everything's working well. So we're getting it done. Thanks, Jess. That concludes my superintendent's report.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve and accept the superintendent's report?
Yes,
Martin, raise your hand.
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Katan?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. Lenhart?
Yes.
Mr. Lafretta?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
points to the Massquan general items. Does anyone need anything separated out from items 15 through 21? We have a motion for items 15 through 21. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Secretary Moore?
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Fasson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovder?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretto?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Gary?
Yes.
Brings us to the Massquan City District's general items. Does anyone need anything separated out? Items 22 through 41. We have a motion for items 22 through 41.
I'll make a motion.
So? So, go ahead.
Mr. Pellegrino, did you second?
I did.
Thank you. Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
I have a question. Got to ask, we have any questions?
Oh. Did I? Did anyone need anything separated out?
I have a question about one. I don't need it separated.
Oh, okay. Which one?
Number 26.
Yes.
Where are we with the RFP schedule, and is that the same as last year's?
That is the same as last year's. Let me pull up the RFP schedule to,
Yeah, it's fine. As long as it's the same as last year, it's fine.
Yeah, Sandy, do you happen to remember when we went to RFP for them while I'm pulling up the schedule?
That was 2 years ago.
We're
fine on that.
And when, earlier during the budget presentation, you said that the, you know, obviously the insurance premium increase is part of the reason for the budget. What was our healthcare increase that you budgeted for?
What was the final percentages? Let me get out my notes. Hang on. Yeah, over 6%, a little over 6%. When combined, when inclusive of prescription, dental, and health.
Thank you.
I thought that was 5.6. No.
Executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron in their Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides that the Manasquan Board of Education hold an executive session for which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or are one of nine subject matters listed in Section D of the Act. And whereas it is recommended by the Superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go to an executive session on this date, Manasquan, New Jersey, discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session, and whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting for the board shall reconvene and for proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares that discussion of the following subject matters will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the board, by the Massachusetts Board of Education, that the board shall go into the executive session to discuss the following items: personnel matters, hiring, resignations, and leave of absence. Do we have a motion to go into the executive session?
Yes.
Second.
Okay, shall I start?
We gotta turn off this recording. We have to, Jess has to turn off the recording.
Jess, you wanna turn off the recording? I can pull the plug out.
Wait, we gotta put it back on, so.
He's still here.
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mr. Holbiter?
Yes.
Mr. Lenhart?
Yes.
Mr. Lafretta?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Harry.
We have a motion to adjourn.